You know, many people have been waiting for this week as a special week. And probably some of you, or many, many of you, have been waiting for this week. Yes, this week. Yes, this week. It's the beginning of football, yeah, you know. I know, many of you just been just waiting for this week, beginning of football, yeah. College football, and this coming week, professional football. How many of you are kind of waiting for football? Yeah, I see some of you guys out there. You know, yesterday, our Houston Texans made their final roster cut. You know, they started with 90 football players out there banging heads, and they cut it down to 53 that will make the roster. They were at it. There were fierce competition out there with different positions, and particularly in the running back position. You know, positive competition brings the very best out of us. But yet at the same time, negative competition can be very, very destructive. It is uncommon to see negative competitions between siblings in the family. Kind of rivalry of wanting to get attention. And today we're going to look at two sisters that competed with one another in a negative fashion. As you know, we've been going through a sermon series on the life of Jacob and his family, which complements our theme this year of connecting, you know, with our family. As you remember, we saw how Jacob was tricked by his uncle Laban. After working for 7 years for the hand of the younger daughter Rachel, Laban manipulated the situation by giving Jacob his older daughter, Leah, during the wedding night. His uncle then made another deal with Jacob, offering Rachel to be his bride if he were to work 7 more years. That was he's a slime, tricky guy. Well, Jacob agreed to it. That led to the beginning of negative competition between these two sisters of Leah and Rachel. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 29. We'll begin this morning by looking at verse 30. Genesis chapter 29, beginning with verse 30. And it says, Jacob laid with Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. Here we see Jacob show favoritism for Rachel over Leah. Now, this pattern of behavior was evident in Jacob's life as he was growing up. You probably recall how his dad favored Esau, and his mother favored Jacob. And it just created all kind of problems, this favoritism. The favoritism led to manipulation and tricks that were played upon Esau. And as a result, the Esau got so upset, as you probably recall, that he wanted to kill his brother, Jacob. He Here again, we see favoritism raises its ugly head. This time, favoritism causes neglect of affection. Jacob clearly prefers Rachel over Leah. However, Leah was still his wife. You see, we are not only to marry the person that we love, but we must also love the person that we marry. I know Jacob was tricked into marrying Leah, and he really didn't have any interest toward her. However, really, the right thing that Jacob should have done in the beginning was to stand up to his uncle Laban at that very moment by refusing to marry Leah, because that is bigamy. Although it might be acceptable during that culture, it was not acceptable to God. All of this problem could have been avoided. Well, now that Rachel was Jacob's wife, you see from verse 30 that Jacob loved her deeply, much more than Leah. Jacob was indifferent and apathetic toward Leah, who as a woman was just natural for her to crave affection from her husband, which unfortunately rejected her time and time again. You see, affection is probably one of the greatest needs among women. Women needs physical affection as well as emotional affection. Women have a stronger relational need than men. It is critical for them to be connected physically as well as emotionally. I believe we could, as husband, we need to pay attention for a second, that we offer physical affection toward our spouse. Give her a hug regularly. Pour her hands. Be close to her physically. Make close contact. And even more importantly than physical affection is emotional affection. And one of the best ways that we can demonstrate emotional affection is by listening to her. Truly understanding what she's saying. Pay attention. Turn off that TV. Put down the magazine when she really wants to talk to us. We see that because of Jacob's favoritism toward Rachel, it caused neglect of affection for Leah. We see that Leah then turned to the Lord for help. And God responded to Leah in a caring fashion. Let us take a look in verse 31 and 32. It says, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now. God saw the pain and hurt that Leah was experiencing, and he cared for her by answering her prayer as she opens her womb. As we read on, we notice that in rapid succession, that she bore Jacob 4 sons. It's very interesting to see how she responded each time when the baby was born. He called Jacob's first son Reuben, which means, "See, a son!" He was hoping that Jacob would love her now. Just go, "Hey, I produce a son! Look! Love me!" Well, unfortunately, that didn't happen. You see, as we go on to, in verse 32, that Leah really felt, really hoped that her husband would love her more now. Leah tended to have this mentality of earning her husband's love and affection by performing for him. Too often, we feel we have to perform well before we can be loved. Many spouses, as well as children, feel that way. Instead, we should love our family members unconditionally. Do not give them a guilt trip by teaching them that they need to be loved if they do not perform up to our standard. This kind of thinking will create all kinds of problems. Well, the Lord blessed Leah with a second son, whose name was Simeon, which means hearing. She implies that Leah continued to pray and plead with God, and God heard her and heard her prayers. And the third son came. His name was Levi, which means attached. Again, she was convinced, now that I have bore 3 sons for my husband, that he will be attached to me. Well, unfortunately, it did not take place. Well, the Lord blessed Leah with a fourth son, and his name was Judah, which means praise. Now, you know, it's been 3, now 4 sons, and it appeared that Jacob hasn't changed too much in his affection for Leah, but yet when the fourth child came, he calls him praise. And why is that the case? Why giving him that name? Well, I believe that Leah has learned to focus on God now, instead of trying to focus on pleasing her husband. She was no longer trying to win Jacob's love by bearing more children, by performing, but rather we see she was praising the Lord for providing her with 4 sons. Her focus no longer is on the problem, but on the Lord. What is interesting in these next couple of verses, three times, Leah uses the word Lord to describe God. This word Lord is where we get the word Yahweh, or the God of salvation. Take a look at verse 32. Notice the latter part of the verse. It says, it is because of the Lord, God of salvation, has seen my misery, and surely my husband will love me now. And then verse 33, she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, and she said, because the Lord, Yahweh, the God of salvation, heard that I am not loved, and gave me this one too. So she named him Simeon. And then as we look at verse 35, this, she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord, God of salvation, Yahweh. Her focus turned to God. Instead of focusing on herself and trying to please her husband, getting that attention and affection, she turns to God. And she learned to delight herself in the Lord. Although God allows disappointments to come into her life, and that's what was in our life, may we turn our focus on the Lord, that He is our delight. Earlier, we have discussed about favoritism and how that caused neglect of affection. And as we turn our focus to the second half of this passage, we see another family problem. And that is jealousy and envy heaps up, and it causes negative competition. After Leah bore Jacob 4 sons, now the focus is turned to Rachel, who felt that she failed as a woman because she has bore no children for Jacob. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 30 of Genesis, just when Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. You see that she became jealous. There's this negative competition that's going on. She wants to have children, but she's not able to have children. Jealousy creeps in. Jealousy basically ignores the blessings that God has given to us already, and crave and focus on what we do not have, not recognizing that God has already blessed us abundantly, forgetting all about that, and chasing after, why, if I only have this or that, I'll be happy. Why isn't God giving me this? And we see that was the attitude of Rachel. Do we recognize how God has abundantly blessed us? Do we just kind of complain? Right. Get jealous of others that might have something that we desire that we do not have. Truly, we all have been blessed. Matter of fact, I'd like to give you a moment to think about one or two things that God has blessed you or provided for you. And I'd like you to get acquainted with somebody next to you. If you don't know that person, introduce yourself. And share one thing or one or two things that God might have blessed you or provided for you. That we say, you know, God, thank you. We've been blessed abundantly. So I'm going to give you a minute. If you turn to someone next to you, share
One thing that you are thankful for.
Okay, it's so good to see all this talking that's going on. God bless you abundantly. May we remember that. You know, jealousy is ignoring the blessings that God's already given to us. We have a lot. May we remember that. Jealousy, we forget and we crave after those things that we do not have. Let's be thankful for those things that we already have. Well, Rachel was jealous. She has a lot of blessings, but she focused on what she does not have as children. She got kind of emotional. She then blames her husband, complains, blames, and says, "Give me children or I die. Why aren't you giving me children? You're the problem." Well, interesting enough, later on in Rachel's life, he died, giving birth to her second son. And a little scary when you kind of demand for certain things, you might get it. Jacob, you know, responded kind of angry. I noticed in verse 2. In chapter 30, it says, Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" See, Jacob got it right. He says, "I'm not God. God's the one that's responsible for opening the wound or not opening the wound." And Jacob doesn't have that special capacity. We also witnessed this teaching earlier in the message in chapter 29, verse 31, where God was the one, again, opened Leah's womb and Rachel was barren. So God was working. God allowed also Rachel to be barren so that she can learn to depend on the Lord. And also for her to learn that God is the ultimate giver of life. Well, Rachel felt really bad and really down, and she gave up the idea of having children anymore. She didn't think that's going to happen. So she started scheming, started thinking about, well, how can I have children? And she decided to have her maidservant become a surrogate mother for her children. Now, polygamy and concubines were acceptable in those days, but yet that was not right before God. It's just like today, abortion might be legal, but it is not right before God.
We see that Rachel ignored God's institution of marriage of one man to one woman. Instead of submitting to God, she took things into her hands. She says, you know, God, my needs a little help. You know, Jacob might have a little problem. We can't have kids. So maybe something else could work out. Well, what caused this kind of foolish behavior? You see, another thing that a woman have a very difficult time is seeing their lover share their affection with someone else. It just creates jealousy. And you might say, you know, I don't have two wives. I don't need to worry about that. But yet, our significant other might have competition of our time and affection with someone else or something else. In other words, whether we might know or not, we might have a mysterious mistress. It might be an obsession with football. Yeah, I know. And we kind of glued to the tube for 6 hours or how many hours every weekend. And we neglect our spouse. It might be an obsession with work or with school, where it interferes with our time, with our family. It might be obsession with social media or gaming. We're just addicted to it. It can be our wife. And it steals our precious time with our spouse. It might even be serving God, ministering. We go overboard. It robs us of our time with our spouse and family member. Next to our relationship with God, we need to learn to love our spouse. As we go further down in this passage in verse 6 and 7, in spite of this compromise that Rachel made, God permitted Rachel's maid to have two sons, namely Dan, which means vindicated, and Naphtali, which means eyes wrestling. See, Rachel feels now, finally, that she's vindicated, although she didn't have any kids, but her handmaiden had sons on her behalf, that she was vindicated finally. In addition, she felt that she's been wrestling with her sister, and now she's won. She was so happy. But that's not the end of the story. This contest for kids continues on. Jealousy and envy causes negative competition between Rachel and Leah. Leah saw that Rachel giving her maid to Jacob to have children by proxy. She said, well, you know, if she could do that, I can do that too. You know? So she gave her handmaiden, her servant, to Jacob, so that you can have more children. This negative competition for Jacob's affection only escalates the jealousy that is present. Jealousy tends to cloud our thinking, and we do things that we regret it later on. That God blessed her with more children. more sons, Gad and Asher. Leah is determined to keep her lead in the baby contest. This so-called unhealthy competition created a great strain between the two sisters. One day, Reuben, who was the firstborn, as you recall, of Leah, he came home with and found a mandrake on the field and gave it to his mother. A mandrake was a small herb, according to ancient superstition, arouse sexual desire and promote fertility. I was like, whoa, you found this neat plant, you know? And when Rachel found out about it, she went up to Leah and demanded for it. So give that to me. Because she hasn't or any children of her own. Well, as we take a look in verse 14 and 15, we see that Rachel made a bargain with Leah to let her sleep with Jacob for a night in return for the mandrake. In verse 14, it says, during wheat harvest, Reuben went out into field and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too? Very well, Rachel said. He can't sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes. Well, she had this another plan. She said, well, I'm going to try this mandrake and I'm going to be more fertile. I'm going to bear a child. But instead, it backfired on her, you know, her brilliant plan. We find that it was Leah who got pregnant. And she did not. He did not. Out of her own plan. It shows clearly that God is the source of life. God demonstrated his care for Leah by providing her two more sons, Issachar and Zebulun. At the same time, we see that God was still trying to teach Rachel the important lesson of waiting upon him and then to trust upon the Lord. We see later on, as we come to the end of this passage, that Rachel did learn this important lesson. And as a result, God demonstrated his care for Rachel by opening her womb. Let's take a look in verse 22-24. Verse 22 is the same. God remember Rachel. He listens to her and opened her womb. He became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, God has taken away my disgrace. He named him Joseph and said, may the Lord add to me another son. God shows that all the scheming and superstitions of men are unnecessary. That God is the ultimate source of life. It was not the mandrakes, but the grace of God that gave Rachel her very firstborn son. Rachel tried many different ways to get pregnant. She complained and blamed her husband, Jacob. He tried the mandrakes. And now we see that she turns to the Lord in prayer. As we've seen in verse 22, it says that God listened. He heard and opened her womb. He gave credit to God as God deserved the credit. Because God is ultimately in control. He's the giver of life. And we see that Rachel finally learns to depend on the Lord. He also, at this time, calls God Yahweh, God of salvation, just like Leah. You know this in verse 24 at the very end. May the Lord, that's Yahweh, the God of salvation, add to me another son. You recognize that God is the giver of life. Just as Leah earlier has admitted that God is Lord, God of salvation. Because God is in control, we can delight in Him as well as depend on Him. Now for those that are here and that might not know Christ personally, I want you to know our God who loves you dearly. He demonstrated His love for us that while we were yet sinners, that He died for us. Paid the penalty of our sins, and 3 days later He rose again. I invite you to trust Him personally. And for those of us that know Christ, may we learn to delight in the Lord. Identify, as an application, identify five things that you recognize how God has blessed you or provided for you. And thank Him. Thank Him for His goodness to us. And also, may we learn to depend on Him. Whatever trials and difficulties that we might be in, He's always there. May we not run off and do our own thing, but instead, let us learn to trust Him. May we delight in Him, and also depend on Him. Let's bow for prayer. Dear God, we thank You for the lesson that we can learn from Leah and Rachel, Lord. We know that You're ultimate in charge, and when we submit ourselves to You, that You show us Your way. Teach us to delight in You and depend on You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Fred, for that message of truth.